We're back on the air. I'm excited to say this is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show. And I'm really lucky. I'm surrounded by my guys today. I got on my left, my co-host for this interview, Alex Dablofsky, our producer. Thanks, Alex.
How you doing?
Hey. Oh, my God. We got David over my shoulders. I got Chris Gerald on the board. And we're waiting for David Soper to join one of our later segments. He's behind me in his dark sunglasses. Our next guest is Megan Driscoll of Pharmalogics Recruiting, correct?
You got it.
I got it. And you're CEO and founder.
I am.
Good. Why don't you tell us about the company, when it was started, and what are you doing?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to. So we opened our doors in 2004. We started off as a very traditional recruitment firm in the biopharmaceutical space. And we operated very traditionally. And what I mean by traditionally is that recruitment firms are paid 25% or 30% of a base pay. So if the company hires someone at $100,000, you get paid a $25,000 or $30,000 fee. And we focused only exclusively in life science because that was sort of my background before I opened up my firm. And we did that until the market crashed, pretty much. And in 2008, a bunch of things happened actually all at once that allowed us to sort of take a book or allowed me to sort of take a closer look at how recruitment is run in this country and what does traditional recruitment mean. And we came out of the recession with a totally different model. We sort of coined it the anti-fee model. And now that has grown today to what I would say we're the only pure play RPO, recruitment process outsourcing organization in life sciences. We were, I would say, maybe $200,000 worth of revenue in 2009, and we're a $10 million company today. We had 4 employees in 2009, and we have 70 today. So we've been doubling in revenue and in employees every year since then. Wow. And this will be it's our third year on the Inc. 5000's fastest growing private companies in the country. What makes me most proud actually about what we've got going on recently is that for the first time we're not only Best Places to Work Boston Business Journal, but we're also a Boston Globe Best Places to Work. We've focused a lot the last few years on developing and building and sort of solidifying what our culture is. And I think it shows in the awards that we've been able to win recently.
What is it about you, do you think, that has made the organization so successful? What do you think your core characteristics are?
As an organization,
but as a leader starting the business, you know, some leaders, yeah. A lot of leaders want to do what you've done.
Yeah.
What do you think it is that's made it so that you've been able to persevere and make it a reality?
I think that there's so much growth that happens in the course of time. And I look back at myself and think, I was so unqualified and so unprepared at 27 to start a company and to be a leader. I mean, you know, maybe I was, you know, I was the president of my class in high school, and I was the leader of my teams, and, you know, I was always aggressive and, you know, wanting to win and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to, like, really building and developing an organization, I was very ill-equipped. And so what I would say has been really important over the last 10 years has been to focus my energy and my effort on what's good for somebody else. And that means both the customer and my employee. And as it's a muscle that you flex, like, so you start doing it a little bit and you screw up some things and then you do it more and you do it more. And the more you actually think of the other, the more you try to make up, for example, the client super happy, and you do everything in your power to make them feel empowered to do their job well, or you support them in doing their job well. Likewise, the more you give to your employees, the more they feel like the place they come to work is a comfort, is a joy, the more they want to come to work, the harder they work for you. And so I think that you're reluctant when you first open a company to spend the money and the resources on things that are of the other. But what you realize is that it's really a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more you do it, the more you get back. It's taken me, you know, 10 years to fully kind of embrace that feeling. And so I approach my business like that every day now. My job is to make sure that the clients are better off for knowing me and the employees that come to work for my company are better off for having worked at my company, whether they stay for 6 weeks or 6 years, that when they choose to move on, if they do, they've gotten something really positive out of their experience at PharmaLogix.
You know, it seems to be an underlying current that you're, you know, you emphasize a lot of your relationship with your employees.
I love them. I mean, in many ways, first off, there's not enough love in our world, right? Like, there's not enough spirit. There's not enough fulfillment. I mean, I think I read a statistic recently that over 50% of women over 40 are on antidepressants. A really sad reality. You know, and I totally understand that. You know, I get it. Like, it's really hard to have all the parts and pieces in your life working all at once, right? Because as a woman, right, you want to be married. You want to be a good wife. You want to have children. You want to be a great mom to them. And then there's this other part that you want to be who you really are. That's really important. And I think so many women shut that down for the mother and the wife. And then that doesn't go away in someone. That spirit in their heart doesn't disappear. And so I think what happens over time is it becomes harder and harder to get back to doing something that is of their own volition, their own spiritual fulfillment, their own reason for being on this planet. And that can lead to a life of unfulfillment, and unfulfillment leads to depression. We look at Robin Williams, like, very well loved by everyone, his family. He made so much money. He could have had anything in the world and commit suicide. You know, it just speaks volumes about kind of where we are in this space and how we have to do so much more to live a life of fulfillment at every level. And so I think that I think about my employees like they're my third child. You know, I have two children, I have a husband, and I have collectively a third child. And so I love them very much. I think about them at night. And when I wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes I wake about the fact that my daughter has 4 stitches in her finger and is she going to be okay the following day? And sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night because one of my employees is struggling and needs help, and how can I support them? You know, and maybe it's not work related, but how do you allow them the space to grow and develop, even if it's not professionally driven and things you know about people?
You know, there were studies, you know, after the last crash that showed that female-owned companies did better than male-owned companies.
Yeah, I bet.
The crash, because a lot of male-owned companies were, I'll stay with the positive, the female-owned companies, that the leader was more oriented around their staff than they were around themselves. And it sounds that that's your theme, that you care more about your clients, your customers, your staff, and it's your job to take care of those extended sort of communities.
I think it's, and I don't think that's a female thing, right? I think that's a business owning thing.
Just on average, women were doing it more than men.
And I think that goes back to, like, the nurturing nature of a woman, right? Like, yeah, I always say this to people. You can't take the mom out of a woman. If once a mother becomes a mom, you can't take it out. And a mom plays a role in people's lives very differently than a dad. Not that it's not as important, I think, but you have a more, you know, when your kids get sick, they, when they're hurt, they call me. My husband's in the kitchen and they call me at work. You know, when somebody's hurt, they want their mom. And so I think that that's you as you become a mother, and even if you're not, you're just a woman, you are more nurturing, I think, in general. You can be or tend to be more. And I think that's totally societal. I think we're all that way. I think society teaches us that women should be more nurturing and men should be more strong. And so we grow up with these ideas about what we should and shouldn't be. And so then you produces this result, right? So I think that's probably why. It's not that men don't have it in them. I think it's very hard for men to be vulnerable. I think it's very hard for men to be openly affectionate and caring and loving in a professional setting. I love it when I see coaches hugging their, professional coaches hugging all their players and kissing them on the cheek and kind of showing that affection and love, because I do think that that's something that's missing. It's not that men don't have it. It's just they've been sort of conditioned not to show it. And I think women haven't had that conditioning. We haven't had that constraint. We can kind of be who we are at home, at work.
So where's PharmaLogix going? Sorry, Alex.
I was going to ask, with all the successes you've had in the past 10 years, what are some of the challenges that you had to overcome?
Oh, God, so many. Many, many of which are just mistakes that you make. You know, wrong hires that really bring you down into the weeds. I mean, like, that, you know, there's haters, right? Like, it just happens. You know, you're gonna make bad hires, and you have to rise yourself up above that. It's really hard. You make a bad decision on a hire, and they can bring you down a rabbit hole really quickly. You know, hire slowly, fire quickly, is sort of my motto these days. You know, we try not to make as many mistakes anymore, but a bad hire can take you into a year's worth of pain and anguish. There's been lots of things. I'll tell you one example. When we first started our business, before we converted over to this sort of new model, which has really allowed our company to explode and grow, I had hired two people. They ended up kind of being friends. And essentially, it turns out that I was on maternity leave, kind of kept my eye off the ball, and the company almost got taken down, basically. Essentially. And it resulted in a lawsuit, and it was just a very negative, bad experience. And I was on maternity leave, and I was thinking, what the hell am I doing? Do I really need this aggravation? And then I was like, you know what? We're going to get past this. Like, every time you're faced with a challenge, you just have to kind of keep your eye on the end result. Like, it's not going to be what you want it to be unless you struggle for it. You know, like, life is about the journey. It's not about the destination. Once you get there, it's very boring at the top, right? You look around, you're like, yeah, pretty sunset. Let's leave. You know, so it's really about the struggles and the successes that you've had on the way up that I think teach you the most about who you are and push you to be a better person. So I always say, like, relish in the difficulties as much as you can. Appreciate them for what they'll be.
Yeah,
because they will produce.
There have to be bumps in the road.
Oh, without them, right? Like, you can't appreciate the successes.
Would you come back, Megan, and talk to us about how the industry is changing, the pharmaceutical industry, in terms of what they're looking for?
Big changes.
Could we focus on that and have a whole segment on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Discussion? There's a lot of things happening, and especially between the difference between biotech and pharma and med device as well.
So we'll try to book that before you go. If somebody's looking for you at PharmaLogix, how would they find you?
Yeah, and I'm interested in speaking. Honestly, like, I really love helping other female entrepreneurs navigate their way through the beginnings of how to do that. I love talking to them about my experiences and the stuff that, if I can impart upon them any sort of knowledge of what to do and what not to do, just avoiding some of the really big pitfalls that can sink any business.
You can come back and talk about that anytime.
Yeah. So you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Megan Driscoll. And you can direct message me that way.
I did.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's how you found me. And that's the best way. My website is www.pharmalogicsrecruiting.com. My contact information isn't on there, but there's a lot of other links to our website there and information about me and the company in general.
Great. I want to thank you for being on the show. We look forward to having you back.
Yeah, I'm happy to come back.
Great. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm CEO and founder of Mage and also Radio Entrepreneurs, here with Alex Dablofsky and Chris Jarrell. And we've been speaking with Megan Driscoll of PharmaLogix Recruiting, clearly a company I think people who do business in that category would like to check out. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.